From APM in San Francisco, I'm Molly Wood, filling in for Ben Johnson on Marketplace Tech. Tesla reports fourth quarter and yearly earnings later today. The electric car maker feeling the pressure. The stock has been in reverse, and the sexy seems to be coming off the brand. But Barclays analyst Brian Johnson is among many who says Tesla needs to roll out the Model 3, its car for the masses.
It's going to be a smaller sedan, likely along the lines in both size and price as the BMW 3 Series. We're expecting that to be revealed in late March.
But even with a cheaper new car, Johnson thinks it's a tough haul for Tesla in the long run. For one thing, low gas prices have kept people from making the leap to an electric car. And Johnson says Tesla faces a lot of competition from traditional automakers.
You know, typically disruptors come in and they nibble away at the edges in markets the incumbents don't think are important or worth defending. And if there's anything worth defending, if you're BMW or Audi, it's the $100,000 sedan market.
That's Barclays analyst Brian Johnson. Tesla reports today after the bell. Tech companies have a reputation for being majority male and majority white. Lots of them say they're trying to change that. The chipmaker Intel says it wants its workforce to look like the American population by 2020. Giants like Apple, Google, and Facebook seem unable to increase the numbers of women and minorities at their companies. But a much younger Silicon Valley darling released its workforce diversity numbers recently, and wonder of wonders, they seem to be going up. Ann Toth is the VP of Policy and People at Slack. Ann, how would you say Slack compares to other companies in the Valley?
You know, what's very notable about our population here at Slack is that almost 9% of our engineering organization, these are the people who write and push code, self-identify as Black or African-American. And that's compared to what you typically see at larger organizations of 1 or 2%. So by that metric, we're doing quite well. But I think, you know, it's hard to know what success looks like here. There's no point where I think you can pat yourself on the back and say, hey, we've won.
Well, and even in companies that have higher percentages, it sounds like retention can be a problem. Intel, for example, released its numbers last week and said it's had trouble retaining African-American employees. How are you addressing that in terms of sort of ongoing culture?
Well, Slack is a very young company, and network effects tend to favor the demographics of the organization as you start. So if you start with a founding group of people who are largely white or Asian males, you tend to find that self-reinforces itself when people refer their friends. So your company increasingly becomes more like itself over time. And by trying to address this issue early, we're hoping that we can actually benefit from those network effects by starting with a population that's more diverse and then reinforcing that as we grow.
Now, one area of weakness that you identified was around women and people of color in leadership positions. So are you going to implement this Rooney rule that we've been hearing about in the Valley where you have to interview minority candidates for leadership roles?
Yeah, there's a bit of a fallacy around the notion that there's a pipeline problem here. But as you mentioned earlier, retention has been a problem with women in technology and computer science, as well as with African-American employees. So that when you look to fill roles at the manager, director, vice president level, you found that a lot of the best people that would be qualified for those jobs have self-selected out of your sector. So like other companies, we are exploring the adoption of the Rooney Rule. Slack is a pretty transparent company with our employees about these topics, and we found that they're passionate about this issue. It's one of the reasons they've chosen to be here, and it's actually something that we want to use to our benefit as well to make sure that we're incorporating their feedback and using that as we grow.
Ann Toth is the VP of Policy and People at Slack. Thanks for talking with us, Ann.
Thanks for having me.
It is safe to say that Andy Rubin, the creator of Android, is a forward thinker. He created super early versions of the wireless PDA and even the smartphone before building Android, which basically took over the world after it was bought by Google. These days, Rubin is at a hush-hush new company called Playground Global. Jason Tans, Wired editor-at-large, wrote about Rubin in his new project. He joins me now from our New York bureau. So Jason, as I understand it, Andy Rubin believes we're entering the era of artificial intelligence?
Yeah, that's basically the idea. So he thinks it's essentially going to be powering, it's going to be cloud-based, and it's going to be powering all kinds of machines around you all the time. And he has a fairly complicated model for building this that is inspired by what he did with Android in the smartphone industry. He's creating the tools that allow anyone to build on top of them.
Yeah, so let's talk about those elements. I mean, Android was an operating system, arguably just software.
Right.
But Playground is talking about providing the AI infrastructure plus the super futuristic hardware components, like kind of a whole platform that you would just mix and match.
So it's created sort of like an incubator. You know, he invests in startup companies. His team works side by side with these entrepreneurs to help them build the hardware that is going to power their machines. So if you say, hey, you know what, I want to build a drone. And it would be really cool if that drone could see something. Maybe I know drones, but I don't know cameras. Well, guess what? Andy and his team happen to know cameras very well, so they will give you that camera. So you automatically don't have to worry about it at all. And that is essentially going to speed the coming era of artificial intelligence, because everybody isn't going to be reinventing the wheel every time.
Now, one thing I think is interesting about Playground is that it's supposed to be this incubator where, as you write, you never have to ask permission. But I would have thought that would have been Google.
You're right. Google is not known for being an overweening bureaucracy where you can never do anything that you want. But, you know, Andy is a very, very impatient guy. And even by Google's standards, you know, that felt very, very slow to him. I do think that Andy Rubin has maybe more of an appetite for the kind of chaos of emergent technology than a lot of other people.
Jason Tanz is an editor at large for Wired. You can read his article Fast Forward in the March issue of the magazine. Thanks for talking with me, Jason.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.